our mental health officials, our legal section, and our guests. You are welcome to this meeting, and I'm declaring the meeting open. At this stage, I'm going to hand over to the committee secretary to take us through the apologies. Mr. Sala.
Thank you, Chair, and good morning to members and the department. The agenda for today, Wednesday, the 15th of November, is as follows. Will be the adoption of the apologies, adoption of the agenda, and then we go directly to clause by clause deliberations of the Labor Law Amendment Bill. After that deliberation, to consideration of a draft report on that bill. Then we will go directly to the department to give us a briefing on the action plan of the compensation fund. Members will deliberate on that presentation, and then it will be consideration for adoption of the quarterly performance report, quarter one, department representatives, and then consideration for adoption of last week's draft. Thank you very much, Chair. I have received only, let me just say, I received Mr. Bakrain saying it's going to be an hour late. I received an approach from Mr. Matisha, Mr. Chowama and Mr. Muteka. Thank you, Chair.
Thanks, Mr. Sagafa. Honorable members, that the agenda is outlined as well as the apologies. Anyone who wants to have a bite on the apologies as well as the agenda? Honorable Dolashe, Honorable Tomani.
Good morning, Chair. I move the acceptance of both the agenda and apologies.
Honorable Tomani.
Thank you, Chair. I second the
apologies. Thank you, Honorable members. That then takes us to the first item on the agenda, which is to deal with the bill. I want to urge all of us to take or to go to our copies of the bill.
Madam Chair, before we recommend to that question, I'd like to ask, is it possible for you to ask the question now?
Yes.
When we started off with this process of considering this particular bill, a number of preliminary work was done by the department, amongst others the financial implications and the feasibility of the bill and how it will impact upon the financial sustainability of the fund, and actuarial sort of reports were generated and it was served before this committee, and on the basis of that we then proceeded with the processing of the bill. Now my question is that in the light of the release of this report, there was a particular proposal made by the Commission that 50 billion rand of the unemployment insurance fund should be ring-fenced to finance possibly Seward colleges. Now, if that, we don't know what the outcome is, I said that from, because the President and the Ministerial Committee tasked with considering the viability of the proposals need to conclude its work. So if that is to be the case, then it certainly will have a major impact upon the financial viability of this particular piece of legislation as well. So I don't know, I need some sort of clarity. This partner perhaps, you know, could provide that. That we could possibly proceed with this and the implementation. Because everything with cost again in uncertainty whether this particular bill will have a negative financial impact upon the liquidity of the fund should that particular proposal be taken into consideration. I just need some sort of clarity and guidance. Thank you, Madam Chair.
Thank you. Can I urge members, let's treat those two as two separate issues, despite the fact that they both deal with finances, which they may impact on each other. And in light of what you have raised, let us make it an agenda item for the committee that in next week's meeting, we put the issue of the commission's report as an agenda item, and we ask the department to be ready with responses, because currently we can't assume that they have a readily available answer, because they only prepared for the agenda that we have on now. Can members settle with that, Honorable Donasha?
Thank you, Chair. I totally agree with you, Chair. This is only a commission report. Headed by the president. It does reflect on the department insofar as the proposal is concerned. Let's leave it there until the minister comes back to us and take us through if there are any indication or anything that is on the table. But there is just no reason for us to take things that are on the table for us off because of that. Because there's no such an instruction for now. Should not press the panic button. There's no reason for us to do that. Let's just wait until, as we are correctly saying, Chairperson, we get the necessary information. We don't want us to send some kind of anxiety to our people that there's something that might be a problem. For now, let's cool it down, allow the process to unfold, that this report affect us as the Preferred Committee on Labour, invite the Minister to take us through, if she's got any knowledge, the implications, the spin-offs, and so on. I think I totally agree with you. Thank you.
That settles the question then, members. Let's then proceed with the bill. If you turn over the page in your copy, you will have the bold letters there, which gives the title of the bill. Are we as members agreeing with that part? Yes, it is a long title, but we have checked with the legal section. They say there is no problem with that section. Unfortunately, today's proceedings will be such that I must get a nod from members before I can proceed. Honorable Donasha.
Mr. Chair, I want to pretend that I have given a note. Go ahead for you to consider that.
Any second, Honorable Korai. Members, I want to propose as follows. This bill is having 18 clauses. And it's not coming up for the first time. It's only the two critical clauses that are coming for the first time for a closer scrutiny by the committee. Can we then agree that in terms of us endorsing the clauses, instead of taking it clause by clause, something we have done, can we take it in batches of six? But we will focus more on clauses 9 and 10 when we come to that stretch with clauses 9 and 10. Any view to the proposal? Honorable Tongwane?
I agree to the proposal, Chairperson.
And the second, Honorable Teko Sekong, I am reminded here, members, that because Honorable Korai is an alternate member, we have to find somebody second in the initial proposal. Honorable Teko's hand was up, so we'll settle for that name. Can we proceed, members? We are now on clauses 1 to 6 of the bill. And clause 6 is on page 5. So we are taking our first page up to page 5. We are using the numbers on top. That's why we have our clause 6. And clauses are the numbers written on the left so that we understand. Honorable Councilor,
I move for the adoption of clauses 1 to 6.
Any seconder? Honorable Mjobo. Let's then take clauses 7 up to clause 12. But as we are taking clauses 7 up to 12, because clause 9 and clause 10 are in there, I just want to give Ms. Fundamental from the legal arm to talk to clauses 9 and 10, just a rehash, because when we received their report, we were clarified on those clauses. Over to you.
Thank you, Chairperson. Good morning, members. Just a quick reminder to members, the rationale about clause 9 is to correct a formula to calculate the beneficiary in unemployment benefit. Unfortunately, the formula that was initially there used 298 days, and it should be for a full year, 365 days. So it's just a mathematical correction of that calculation. And clause 10 corrects a typographical error that also caused significant calculation problems. You will recall that it read 17 to 32 instead of 17.32. So those are what those clauses deal with.
That's the explanation, members. Any comments on clauses 6 to 12? Honorable Teko?
Do the comment, Chair, sir. I need to know for the adoption of the amendment.
Honorable Teko moves for adoption of clauses 6 to 12. As amended. Any seconder? Honorable Dolasha second. Can we take the last batch, honorable members, which is clauses 13 up to clause 18?
Thank you, Chairperson. I move for the adoption of clauses 13 to 18.
Honorable Sankanfeg, move for adoption of clauses 13 to 18. Any second, members? Honorable Mjobo, second. That takes us to the last clause, members. I just now want us to move for the adoption of the entire bill as a document for the committee. Yes, we have taken it clause by clause, but now that we have finished the work, let's take it in that fashion. Honorable Dolasha?
Thank you, Chairperson. I move for the adoption of the entire bill.
Ms. Segunda, Honorable America Segunda. I said Honorable America Segunda, because we have not opposed to any clause.
Taken what, Madam Chair?
The bill.
Yeah, yes, for sure I do.
Come again?
Yes, yes, I do.
Thank you. That then takes us to the next item, where we request the Secretary to read the draft report. Mr. Fagasa.
Thank you, Chair. This is the report of the Portfolio Committee on Labor on the Labor Laws Amendment Bill, which was introduced as PMB 5 of 2015, dated today, 15 November 2017. The Portfolio Committee on Labor, having considered the subject of the Labor Laws Amendment Bill, National Assembly Section 25, that is said to be classified by the JTM as a Section 35 bill, presents a redraft of the bill, which is now D29 of 2017, report to be considered. Thank you, Chair.
Members, any member who wants to quick clarify on that report before I table it for adoption? Any clarification question? Any member who moves for the adoption of the report? Honorable Tongwana, seconded by Honorable Tebo. I'll sign then the report on your behalf, members, because we have adopted it. Thank you. Thank you, Ms. Fandamerve. I understand your tight schedule. At this stage, you can thus go back to your responsibilities. Thanks for taking us through this case. That then takes us to the next item, members. Briefing by Department of Labor on the action plan of the compensation fund. I'm seeing the commissioner, and I assume that the commissioner is leading the delegation. Secretary, would you request any apology from the department? Can you talk to it?
Apology, Chairperson. I did receive yesterday an apology of the DG saying that when he came back from Geneva last week, so it's off sick, and he said that someone to apologize. I forwarded the email to you, but I forgot to mention it, Chairperson.
Okay. Honorable Thomas.
Thank you, Chairperson. The second must be the omission from Mr. Sakasa. Office that the only table that apology now. I'm saying that for the reasons that are quite obvious that each forever expected to meet the delegation all the time. Even if somebody represents on behalf of his department, but that must be presented by him into the comments. Second, the chairperson, I don't think I'm taking kind the absence of the time. With or without an apology. I don't think I'm taking so kind of everything. I think I must say it very clear, so I'm not accepting. Very sorry.
Thank you. I think the departmental delegation should take the message back. The committee is not impressed. The DG has not been with us for quite a long period now. We are not saying he must be well when he is not well, but having a delegation led by somebody else for almost 4 weeks is an anomaly. That should not happen again. Mr. Mafat.
I am with the colleagues from the fund created, and let me introduce the colleagues that I'm with. On my right is Ms. Nivi Reiter. She is the chief director for compensation and occupational injuries and disease services at the fund. And next one on my left is Ms. Tanya Bush, the acting chief operations officer at the compensation fund. Enrico Zincaliti from the Department of Labor. Mr. Wadi Letangu from the Department of Labor in the DG's office. And Mr. Greg Schneemer, the chief of staff in the minister's office. And Mr. Sorabi Lehatikila on the far left, who is the parliamentary relations officer in the office of the deputy minister. Chair, we will be presenting the status update with regards to the implementation of the action plan of the compensation fund. As a background, I think we should start on slide number 4, which is page 2 on the handout, which talks to the objectives of the action plan. Just as a reminder, the action plan had 4 objectives that we wanted to achieve. Was the improving service delivery performance of the fund, increasing the efficiency of the fund's overall administration within financial management as well as within its operation, as well as restoring the location. At the time when we developed the action plan, service delivery was at a near halt and the compensation fund was not functioning the way that it should. Then we put together this particular action plan to address key areas within financial management in the next slide. Within financial administration, also focusing on customer service and service delivery issues, focusing on the internal business processes as well as on the people management issues, because a lot of the issues that led to the dysfunction of the fund were also related to human resource management issues that the fund was plagued with. We then developed a set of actions which were delivered through projects that were then touching on each of these 4 areas or pillars of the action plan. In the next slide number 6, this just shows a summary of the progress that we've made since we started implementing. We started implementing this action plan in July 2015. We had about 114 actions or activities that we had identified. I think about 39 projects or initiatives that we had identified within these 4 areas. And when we entered the end of October 2017, we had completed about 86% of the activities that were planned in the action plan, and about 14% of these, which is about 16 out of the 114, were still in progress for completion. If I get to the details, in the first pillar, which was financial administration, we have been able to, we've made some progress with regards to the revision of employer assessment model. We've also made some progress with regards to the implementation of Section 85 of COID, which relates to loading and reduction of tariffs. We've also made some progress, though has not completed, issues around loading of long outstanding reconciliation items as well as correcting all prior items. But we've been able to complete a number of projects in this area, and a number of activities have been fully implemented, one relating to employer discounts, improving debt collection, collecting interest and penalties, the completeness of accuracy of revenue, the issues that we had identified there were also concluded, the clearance of the suspense account, the finalizing the merit rebate, as well as improving the payments that we made, as well as improving capacity within the financial management unit of the fund. The next slide just then talks to, at a high level, the progress. The assessment model, we actually completed the revised assessment model for the fund. The actuarial assessment has been completed, as well as the socioeconomic impact assessment study. on this particular change. This will then see the fund changing its current assessment model of using about 102 different industry classes to determine the revenue for the fund, and then reduce that to about 6. We are currently in discussions with the social partners at NEDLEC before we publish the regulation for public comment, because it's going to have an impact on businesses in particular, in that some are going to result in increased assessment rates, others are going to result in reduced assessment rates because they would fall in one of the 6 as opposed to falling within the 102 classes that we have. We have also dealt with a number of issues that the Auditor General has raised with regard to our accounting policy framework for revenue that led to a number of the audit findings that contributed to the disclaimer that we had. And this has led to us seeing a reduction in the number of issues that the Auditor General still raises with regard to our revenue. Though we're still getting a disclaimed audit opinion on revenue, but a number of the issues, the assessment model is going to also help us to deal with some of these issues. We had identified projects with regard to the loading and reduction. This is an area where, for example, looking at the industry performance within a specific industry, we then compare the employer with the peers within a specific industry. If the employer has performed well compared to the industry in terms of zero incidents or injuries, they would then qualify for a discount on their assessment rate. If they performed badly compared to their peers, would then increase the assessment rate that they pay. There were problems with these issues because this was also one of those things that was contributing to the disclaimer on revenue because it was incorrectly implemented. It became sort of like a privilege for employers rather than a compulsory issue, something that gets done to encourage employers to maintain safe workplaces. And as a result, it was also subject to a number of fraudulent activities where employers would then fraudulently be reduced or loaded on the assessment. So we then looked to make sure that we get all our claims information into one specific platform that will enable us to be able to have a fair and objective process of determining the reductions and the loading. So this process is not complete yet. The actuaries have actually now developed a model for us that would allow us to be able to do this, so that we have less human intervention in terms of interpretation of these statistics. So we've actually suspended implementation of this section of the legislation until we've resolved all the issues. And we are anticipating that the 1st of April we will then go back to looking at issues of loading and reducing tariffs. We had, at the time of implementing the action plan, also there were a number of discounts that were promised to employers that had submitted a return of earnings in 2012 on time, but for a long time these had not been paid out to employers. It was one of the cries that our clients had, so we were able to then develop a functionality on our system that would enable us to do this, and this was completed early on in the implementation of the action plan, and about 207 million rand was then refunded back to qualifying employers. This also then led to improvement with regard to the amount of revenue that we record in our books. There were a number of issues that were identified by the Auditor General with regards to the accuracy of our debt book and also the ability of the fund to be able to collect the revenue that is due to it. So we had identified a number of projects that needed to be done around collecting the kiosks, because we were at a stage where we were even unable to tell who owes us and how much do they owe us because of the incorrect kiosks that were being implemented by the system. We then had a number of projects that led to us at the end of the 2016-2017 financial year. This issue was resolved, and then we were able for the first time to be able to reflect correct debt balances on our age analysis reports as well as on our financial statements. This resulted, members would recall, the Auditor General highlighted this particular issue, that there was about 2.4 billion debt that was written off in our financial statements at the end of the financial year. This was merely a correction as a result of the incorrect functionality that was developed for the fund with regard to calculation of interest and penalties on the SAP system. The system continued calculating an incorrect interest, calculating incorrect penalties, And this compounded the issues that the Auditor General has raised around the accuracy of our revenue. We, one of the projects we had was then to redevelop the module that helps us to calculate the interest and penalty. And once that was redeveloped, we then went used the same module to go back and check, since the implementation of the SAP system, how much incorrect interest had been calculated by the system. And we worked that out to about 2.4 billion. We then had to write that off in the last financial year. And this was highlighted by the Auditor General in the audit report for the 2016-17. And as a result, we have also suspended the levying of interest or penalties when employers don't come back. But because now we've corrected this particular functionality of the system, we're able to reinstate it at the beginning of this financial year. Now, any employer that is not complying, then levied or charged the correct interest and penalties. The next slide also talks to the issues. A number of the issues, if you go to the next slide, the other issues that had been raised was that the fund had poor financial management. There was absence of policies that that we needed within our finance environment to be able to do the work that we do around supply chain, revenue, expenditure, and so on. One of the things that we did also was then to develop two policies related to improving the control environment, and all this, we had this led to our 20 policies that we then developed that are currently now in implementation. We implemented these policies for the entire period of the 2016-17 financial year. And this improvement in controls, though it has not dealt away with all the issues that have been identified as breaches of internal control, but the impact that this has had was that we were able to reduce our findings during the 2016-17 audit to about 89 findings, and less than 20 of those findings were those that affected the audit report, as opposed to prior years where we had more than 100 findings affecting the audit report. We had in total about 141 the year before, and the year before that was all findings that were identified by the Auditor General. We had issues where we were not able to deal with issues around our clarification or suspense account, is the account that deals with the reconciliation of the bank entries that come into the fund, where employers pay contributions or their levies to the fund, and then we were unable to reconcile some of these, especially when incorrect reference numbers was used. One of the things that we then wanted to do was, because there were limitations of the system, we then had to work with the banks to make sure that we improve the referencing criteria that is used with regard to deposits. And as a result, we were then able to clear about 78% of those items that were identified as in the suspense account that needed to be cleared towards the... So what that means is then there would have been revenue that would have been received from employers, but would not be sitting in the employer's account. We've now been able to make sure that these are then allocated to the respective accounts. We're still now working on the balance that still needs to be cleared as we communicate with the employers, where we don't have information as to who made the deposit. We also improvement of our payment processes. We, at the time, the fund was not able to, we were paying almost once every 3 or 4 days benefits. We were not really paying every day. There was a number of issues that we had as limitations. So one of the things that we did was then also to start a project where we were then moving our payments. We processed payments or claims on Umetoko, but we then developed the functionality for us to be able to pay this, not in Matuko, but in the SAP system, because our financial system was SAP. And then this has led to a number of improvements, because, for example, now we are able to pay benefits on a daily basis. So where claims have been approved today, tomorrow they will be on the payment run for payment, which is an improvement from the past, where we paid once every 3 or 4 days our claims. We also have been able to clear the reconciliation items that I spoke about earlier, and we've automated a lot of the reconciliation processes to make sure that we are able to reconcile our bank accounts, because the TFMA requires us to reconcile accounts on a weekly basis. The second pillar was on the customer focus and on the service delivery, and we had we actually finalized about 5 out of the 7 projects that we identified. We've made some progress on 2 of the projects, though they have not been finalized. The 2 that have not been finalized was the issues around rehabilitation and return to work framework that we wanted to have, or program that we wanted to have. Here the idea is to make sure that we don't only focus on the client by making sure that the client that is made his or her medical account paid or his claim approved, but those that have the ability to be able to be reintegrated back into the labor market, we then able to do this. So the starting point had to be the development of a program as well as the policy that would then enable us to do this. The long-term objective is to amend legislation so that it becomes valuable for employers to be able to integrate those employers that are, those employees that are able to carry out some form of work to back into employment. We've now developed the policies as well as the strategy for rehabilitation and return to work. We will be finalizing the approval processes for these 2 documents in this quarter three of the financial year, so that we're ready to implement. Concurrently, we're implementing a new structure that then introduces the particular rehabilitation branch within the compensation fund that will then be able to focus on managing these issues. On the finalized contract or finalized project or the issue around the dispensing of chronic medication, we also wanted to start engaging with hospitals, because at the time most hospitals, most medical professionals were not willing to treat any COVID clients. If a person is injured at work, most oftentimes they would be turned away from doctors, or in some cases even not be turned away from hospitals, so we required to pay upfront before they can be treated. We also had issues around dealing with PTSD cases, where clients complain that the injury or the disease that they've contracted at work is post-traumatic stress disorder, which was something that was new for the fund. And we had actually a lot of backlogs around adjudication of these particular claims. And we also then had reputational issues in terms of improving the reputation of the fund. A lot of the projects that we had identified around this area have yielded results. The call center of the fund was non-functional, and there was a lot of complaints around the clients not being able to get help whenever they called the call center of the fund. So there are a number of activities that we had identified there that we've also implemented. Could we go to the next slide? On the first project around the chronic medication, here what we're doing now, a lot of our clients also were being turned away by pharmacists in some cases, where they would not be able to get their medication because of the history of non-payment by the fund in the past, and a lot of pharmacists would not want to. So what we needed to do was to make sure that we find a sustainable and a long-term process for our clients that end up on chronic medication, so that they continuously get their chronic medication whenever there is one that is prescribed for them. Initially, we wanted, because the Department of Health has a number of contracts around dispensing of medication, we wanted to participate in that contract so that we can be able to do it much quicker. When we identified challenges with the method that is used at the Department of Health compared to the way we want to do it, we actually ended up going on our own tender, and we appointed a service provider that has been doing this since now September 2016. And to date, we have about 664 clients out of our 28,000 pensioners that we have that are on chronic medication, that are now getting medication delivered to their doorsteps. They don't have to go to a pharmacy or anywhere. We then get their script sent to us by their doctors, and we then just dispatch as per the script that has been provided. We have now regulated different health associations and hospitals, and there is now a working relationship that has led to an improvement in the number of issues that we find when we have to pay invoices and so on. So there is now that one-on-one contact between the different hospitals, the different Department of Health in the country as well, the different provinces, so that we can speed up the issues related to those specific hospitals. I spoke about the policy earlier. We've already developed the policy, the strategy for the 10 to 12 program, and we will then be piloting this particular issue at the beginning of the financial year. On the next slide, to deal with the issues around post-traumatic stress disorder, the Minister has appointed a panel made up of experts to help us develop a regulation that will then guide medical practitioners as well as clients in terms of how to then deal with post-traumatic stress disorder, what kind of information you will require as a fund for a claim to be lodged and so on. So now this particular document is really ready. We will be publishing it before the end of the year to make sure it's actually going through our subcommittee of the board that deals with technical court issues now in November, and as soon as it has been recommended, they will go to the board on the 4th of December before we then publish the regulation, so that we can get comments from the clients and the health profession, and then we can then towards the end of quarter four we'll then publish the final policy so that it's implementable by the beginning of the financial year next year. The issues around the call center, we actually set up teams that are working closely with provinces, where each province has been assigned teams within the customer service environment, where we're able to then have client issues being dealt with much quicker than the way before. We've modernized our call center, implemented a new call center system that went live in July, that now enables us to be able to deal with the calls that we get from clients. It also gives a little bit of control as well, because supervisors are also able to monitor the calls that come in from clients, the number of calls that come in, how long do we take on a call, how many calls were dropped, and it enables them to also do some quality assurance to look at how we behave with the client. Well, on a sample basis, they're able to listen to some of the calls that took place to see how clients were assisted, if there's any improvement that is needed, and it helps to identify training needs to our call center staff so that they can be assisted to deal with clients effectively. The next slide is the third pillar, which was around the business processes, where we have finalized about 6 out of the 10 projects that we had. Those that we have not finalized was the issue around there's a number of issues that we wanted to deal with around the claims backlog. And now the objective here was to identify, there was a number of claims that would have been lodged in the, because the fund has changed systems about 3 times in the last 5 years. And each time we move to a new system, there would be claims that get left behind, that don't get processed, either because there would have been outstanding information required on that claim at the time for us to be able to process the claim. And one of the things we had identified here was to be able to go back and look at the claims that we had on our SAP system before we moved to Metro, so that we can take those and migrate them into Metro so that we can process them and pay them. The other project was around the skills levels within the teams. We had just decentralized to provincial offices, new staff was coming on board, and intensive training was required to be able to make sure that we get them ready to be able to deal with claims, whether it's ordinary compensation claims or whether it's medical claims and so on. So there was a number of projects that we also identified with regard to training. This is an ongoing process. We also then needed to deal with some of the items that were processed and finalized within SAP, but were somehow not paid when we moved to Umetu, to make sure that we then also pay these. That's something that is also still in progress. We wanted to introduce a hospital case management program for our clients. A lot of our clients go into hospital and they stay in hospital longer than they ought to have stayed in hospital, and also when they're in hospital they don't get necessarily the care that they require to be able to ensure that they get rehabilitated and get back into employment. And you find that a person ends up from hospital, the person doesn't go back to work because of the treatment that he or she would have received. So we wanted to have a case management system to make sure that we manage the client as soon as he or she enters the hospital, when they leave, to make sure that they get the right treatment. Now, on the one that we've actually completed was the restructuring the core business of the fund, the making sure that we fill the post, the medical post that we have created in the provincial offices to enable us to be able to do claims much quicker. We also, there were a number of complaints from clients, from employers, from own staff with regard to the implementation of Umetuko. And one of the things that we needed to do was the quality assurance in the system so that we can identify what are those gaps that are causing complaints so that we can come up with projects to plug those gaps that have been identified. We had also wanted to do a case management system for our hearing. The processes of the fund are such that if a client is not satisfied with the outcome of his or her claim, they lodge an objection with the Director General for the review of the decision that has been made by the Commission. Now, one of the sources of complaints was the fact that a lot of the clients lodge this complaint, but this complaint gets lost, disappear, and it's months before they are placed on the court roll for them to be able to be heard. And one of the things we had identified that we needed to do was to develop a case management system that would enable clients as well as ourselves to deal with these cases electronically. We identified also a number of issues around fraud prevention and detection measures that we wanted to implement, as well as making sure that we deal with some of the aspects of risk management around business continuity. With regard to the restructuring in the next slide, we've successfully completed the obtained approval for the restructuring of the fund in terms of aligning the core business functions of the fund. We have now three core units within the fund. One is core services, which is headed by Ms. Reiter. We've also created medical claims as a separate branch within the fund, because that's the bulk of the payments that we do are around medical aid that we pay for injured workers. So we've created a medical claims division, and also the third one was also the rehabilitation and reintegration, which is aimed at making sure that we reintegrate. We develop programs that would ensure social, vocational, as well as clinical rehabilitation for injured clients that we have. So this has been approved, and we're actually currently implementing it. There was a number of adverts that we placed on the newspapers 2-3 weeks ago in filling and staffing this new unit that is created. The issues around eradication of backlogs, we've actually done a number of projects that we have. We'll see on the slides towards the end of the presentation where we show the progress we've made in dealing with claims. We've been able to eradicate the backlogs of all claims that are payable. If a claim has all the documents that is required and needed to be paid, those issues have been dealt with. The project that we are busy with now is to make sure that where there's outstanding information, for example, there would be no medical report or there would be no notification of accident by the employer. Those are the things now that the team is working with to try and help. Because without a medical report, for example, we are not able to tell whether we are positioned to accept the liability for a claim or not, or whether this is something that should be for the employer's account. So those are the things that we are busy with. There was a number of enhancements that we planned on both SAP and Umetuko to help us deal with these backlogs, and all these enhancements were implemented during the 2016-17 financial year. So some of them have just come to implementation now in the current financial year. We've employed skilled personnel within our medical claims divisions in the labor centers. We now have medical case coordinators and medical case adjudicators, which are professional registered nurses that are then able to deal with the claims at the labor center level. We've appointed senior medical personnel. Each province now is headed by a medical doctor in the compensation fund. We've actually made appointments in 7 of the provinces, and we'll be finalizing the appointments for the 2 other provinces this coming Friday. The open items that I spoke about, where there were vouchers that had been left, that were finalized in the old system but somehow never were finalized and paid. when we moved into Umatupa in 2014. Since 2015, when we started working on these pages, I think to date we've paid just about 22 million of these claims that had been identified, and these are the claims where that were ready for payment. We just needed to be processed for payment where information was available. And we're now working on those ones, for example, where there is no information available, to make sure that we get this information and finalize those claims. In the next slide, I spoke about the issue around the quality assurance in Umatupa. It identified a number of gaps that we needed to close. With a number of enhancement projects, as I said, that we've done. We wanted to implement case management system. The long-term solution is to have a, because there are companies that specialize in hospital or healthcare risk management, and we the idea here was to appoint one of those companies to be able to do the function for us so that we don't duplicate the work that needs to be done. So this process is still underway, but however, as an interim measure, what we've done is because we're appointing medical case coordinators in each labor center, we are now going to use those to be able to do some case management on a selected basis for some of our clients, so that we can make sure that we identify clients that need to be taken through a rehabilitation and reintegration process much quicker early on when they hospitalized, so that we can then help work with the medical service practitioner to help the clients to be able to quickly recover. This is also going to help us reduce the cost that we pay with regards to healthcare, because sometimes people get extended stays in hospitals when it's not necessary for them to be in hospitals longer. And some people are not taken for rehabilitation when they're supposed to be going through rehabilitation. So this process will also help us to be able to identify some of those cases. We've implemented the case management system. The legal case management system actually went live on the 3rd of November. Now what it means is that when there's objections that are lodged or when we have legal matters that need to go before the court, there is an electronic process of managing these particular cases to ensure that they don't fall through the cracks. And any objection that gets lodged, it gets dealt with much quicker. And there's also accountability in terms of what has been done. There's a number of interventions we implemented around prevention, issues around screening of officials. We encouraging a ethical culture in the fund. There's a number of ethics projects that we've undertaken, as well as training of all officials in the fund to ensure that they don't get exposed to fraudulent conduct. The last pillar was on people management, because here there was a number of issues. The decentralization has created a number of issues for the fund. There was unhappiness. Staff had to be moved from Pretoria to different areas within the country. There were resettlement issues that had not been resolved. And there was just likely unhappiness. And also one of the things that we needed to do was to make sure that we identify what were the people challenges that contributed to the dysfunction at the fund. Now, the first project that we identified that we needed to do was a skills audit to just identify what skills levels we have in the fund and what are the skills that we require to be able to operate effectively. Some of the challenges related to decentralization and implementation of new systems were as a result of poor or ineffective change management that has been implemented. Those are some of the things that we identified that we needed to do. The performance issues, the Auditor General always talks about the fact that there are no consequences for non-performance when it comes to the compensation fund, and we had identified a number of things that we needed to do with regards to performance, managing performance. Where the skills gaps had been identified during the skills audit, we also then needed to implement training programs to make sure that we then attract the skills that we need, as well as also making sure that the existing staff get trained in some of the areas where they require the skills, in the areas where they work. We wanted to improve communication between ourselves and our clients, as well as communication internally. And also we then also conducted exercises to try and assess the impact of decentralization on the staff. and where we identify gaps to try and then identify action steps to be able to deal with those gaps. And we also said we needed to review the entire structure of the fund, which is the review that I talked about earlier. The skills audit was conducted. I think it highlighted two things, that the fund as an insurer and also as a medical aid required financial as well as medical personnel skills. And these are the skills that we didn't have in the fund. At the time, I think the fund covers about 12 million working people. And we pay about 80% of the claims of the benefit we pay, medical claims. But we only had two medical practitioners on staff in the whole of the fund, and having to stay with all claims that we get. And also we didn't have the financial skills that we required to be able to effectively manage the finances of the fund. That's what the skills audit then revealed as well, that these are the skills gaps that are there in the fund. What we've done to plan those is also to recruit medical personnel, to recruit adequate skilled finance personnel, and as well as training the existing staff in some of the areas that they need to be trained in. The issues around performance management is we now dealing with providing as much support as we can to make sure that the training and development interventions that are identified in the development plan, those are done. The coaching and mentoring of staff is also implemented as part of the recommendations of the skills for this project. We are now able to hold people to account for performance and for non-performance. There's been constant communications both on a one-on-one basis with the different stakeholders as well as through mass media campaigns. We've been having workshops with the different chambers of business. We've been having engagements with clients, with the minister as well, in different areas throughout the country, with the individuals that we've had, as well as the sessions with the industry bodies that represent a lot of our clients, be it organized labor or organized business institutions, as well as some of the health professions associations. We investigated the issues around the decentralization of decentralization. There were a number of issues, and we actually produced a report that had a number of recommendations on how to address some of the issues that had been overlooked during the decentralization process, issues around the settlement that needed to be dealt with. So we've been able to do all those things. And then the organizational structure review, I mentioned that the structure has been finalized. We're actually now implementing it, and we should see a much different compensation plan by the end of the year once we've fully staffed, by the end of the financial year, once we fully staffed the three core units that we've now created for the fund. The next slide just shows the progress we've made over the last few years in terms of the claims that we've processed. And I think we've seen the improvement. The first year that we paid, we actually implemented the action plan. We've improved our benefits from 3 billion to about 4 billion that we paid in total. And we look at the end of September, at the end of October actually this year, we had actually reached about 2 billion already in payments that we've made. For the last financial year, for example, we registered about 165,000 claims in total. For end of September already, as it stands, we're sitting at about just about 120,000 claims that have been adjudicated. This is just an indication that we are no longer in cases where we're dealing with backlogs and so on. As claims come in, these claims then get adjudicated to make sure that the client gets the benefits that they need to get. So the subsequent slides, the next slides are just the same information, just highlighted in practical form and showing the improvement that we've made in each of the different benefit types that we paid over the last 4 years. Thank you, Chief.
Thank you, Commissioner.
that the report members, I'm welcoming him. We received your apology on a day, then I'm noting you to speak first. Any other hand? Honorable Fanskafik, let's take Honorable Koran, let's take them in that order.
First and foremost, I apologize again. I have apologized to you, Madam Chair. Thank you to Zulani for conveying that over. I appreciate it. It's outside of my control, and I do convey my apologies to the department. I don't normally do this, and I apologize much profusely for being so late. I hope you accept my apologies. Mr. Fucker, we've had a good relationship, and you've always answered me on time, and in fact, each time I've sent in a query from a member of the public, your office has got back, and I thank you for that, because it is going well, and it's been far better than we've had in previous years, so I applaud you. We're still getting in complaints, and I take into account, I did go through this report, Madam Chair, while I was sitting elsewhere, and tell them that I was at a funeral, and I thought I'd read something at the funeral. But we're still getting it. I note your progress on the claims, and I thank you for that. The real issue is you've said to us that, and as I walked in, you said this, and it was a breath of fresh air, that you hope to be basically up to date at the end of this financial year. Do you mean by March next year, or when's your financial year run from? It's from January to December, and I presume you are saying it's in March next year. And we look forward to that very strongly. Just in terms of, and you might have dealt with it, in terms of the computer system that you've put in, are you satisfied, and have you populated the computer system with people who are completely proficient with this? I know you have been trying to marry it into the SAP system. I think I'm correct, so that you've still got the SAP system on board. It's an incredibly difficult computer system. It's probably the most efficient system in the world, but incredibly difficult. And I'm imploring you to at least hold hands with that SAP experts, the technicians, until you feel you've got staff on board who are completely proficient about it. We hear from most of the mining companies, for instance. They've never actually qualified themselves 100% on the SAP system. They've kept external technicians on board from SAP itself. And maybe you can comment on that, because I think, to my mind, that's the only thing that's going to really stand in your way. Your team seems keen. You are exceptionally on the board. It's the computer system that I don't want to, because we've always blamed the Flacol system in the past, and if we couldn't marry it together, I'm hoping that we can now see that by March, that you've got that on board, and that you've got the two systems and meshing and so on. So thank you for that, because I'm hoping that in future, when people complain, it's their problem as opposed to a problem with the computer system glitches. So thank you very much, Madam Chair, and once again, I apologize.
I
thank you, Chairperson. I also want to welcome the important representative by Mr. Masarte, and also comment on your current completeness of activities in terms of the 86% that you're currently claiming at. But, Chairperson, when I look at slide 13, I see that in terms of the participation of the Department of Health, Court and Justice, in terms of the supply of chronic medication, you mentioned the 664 current clients that have been served, but you also mentioned close to 30,000, if I'm correct, around 28,000 deaths currently that needs still to be served, or 646 out of the 28,000. Can you give an indication of what your plans are in terms of fast tracking this service to other clients? And also, when we look at the current backlogs, Honorable Gagarin covered the department, but can we have an indication of when you plan to eradicate that backlog? But you've mentioned also that you had challenges in terms of migrating some of the backlog from the old system to the new system, and you are still planning to migrate. Can, do you have an indication of how many claims are you talking about, and also in terms of monetary value of those claims? The other issue is in terms of your vacancy rate. What is your current vacancy rate? And in terms of your skills, people's management skills, or challenges, you spoke about the challenge that you've encountered in terms of redeploying some of your employees to the provincial offices and the challenges that you're experiencing. Can you give us some more insight in terms of that? What is the possibility of, instead of migrating people from one province to the other, just to employ local people to occupy those positions, or train, bring new trainees into the system in order to ensure that those people will be sustainable or sustained in terms of employment in their current positions? Because we have a challenge that whenever you find that people are being redeployed to areas other than their home provinces or home areas, they tend to want to go back instead of people being employed where they are residing. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you very much for the support, other than meeting with my colleagues. One, Chair, is about the communication. I hear the presenter say they have improved their communication. And can I get from the presenter whether he is now satisfied with their communication strategy that he has? Because it's a worrying factor, because when you go out in our areas, especially people are from the rural areas, people still not getting the information because you are from the rural town. The last point is the one of the trains that have been lost in the past. I understand that we have now improved that in that part. And what's going to happen in those trains that have been lost in the past? Is there any mechanism to catch up with those trains? Because I believe people are still waiting for their trains. And then this notion that your institution is not regarding the poor of the poorest in terms of assisting them with the state. And if they are people are not satisfied, they lose hope, then you have to take it to your institution. Because the state we have improved those other things. Can you really be convinced of communication by this time or this time? We are now ready and I think everything will be normal and things will be changed. Lastly, Chair, in terms of the information, indeed, yes, we get it from the media from different radios, but I'm still requesting or propose that even us people are in a rural area, our constituency offices are there, and can't we send our information to our constituency office? We are dealing with these problems on daily basis because of the problem of the rural area, the farms. So it will be advantageous to ourselves to
prepare the information and to disseminate to our community. So that, that's your work. Thank you very much.
Thank you, members. I join members in welcoming the report, Mr. McQuarter, but I have two questions. The first one is, if you look at slide 12 of your presentation, in terms of performance, you are indicating there that for development of the rehabilitation, blah, 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 I think you see that. In fact, let me go. Let me certainly go to 12. If you look at slide 12, you say in terms of development of the rehabilitation and reintegration program, by August you were at 50%, then by October you were at 90%. Same for the last one. By August you were at 67%. By October you were at 100%. Why didn't you use the same enzyme in the earlier months? Because it seems as if from August you had an enzyme that sped the process to achieve you that well. So what was the miracle that happened then? The second one is, in South Africa you have remote rural areas where the fourth industrial revolution has not done. What is your plan in dealing with those people? Because a person gets injured in a mine, immediately after getting injured goes home in a remote rural area. What assistance can be given to that person? Because where that person is, maybe because of the literacy level, the person is unable to access your computer and any other form of technology. So what is your plan? Because we have to be able to reach all the various categories of South Africans. The floor is yours.
There is the first question from Honorable Bakray, the issue of the financial year. The financial year we're referring to is the 31st of March. Our financial year, like any other government entity, is the 31st of March. And yes, we are happy with the system that we have so far, but we're using Umetubo as our claims processing system and SAP as our financial management system. Now, Umetubo is not, both SAP and Umetubo are not perfect. We have spent a lot of money improving both the systems. There are a number of gaps that the users have identified, both the external users, which is the employers and the medical practitioners, as well as our internal staff, that Umetubo is unable to do. And it's against that reason that's why we continuously looking at ways that we can improve the system. And if we can be able to get something else that plugs into Umetubo to be able to help it do the work that it does, that's what we are looking at. But we have fully integrated Umetubo with SAP now.
Yeah.
We process claims on Umetubo on a daily basis. Those claims then get sent to SAP. That's one of the things that has led to the improvement in the speed with which we take claims that have already been approved and authorized for payment. The issue of the from Honorable Consultant, the issue of the pensioners. I mentioned that the compensation fund currently has close to 28,000 pensioners. Now, not all those pensioners are on chronic medication. So, as the first phase of dispensing medication, we wanted to pilot it with the clients that are on chronic medication, where a person becomes a pensioner and then we have to take care of that person for his medication for the rest of their life. For those people, we then piloted this project with them, and to date we had about 664 clients that are on chronic medication. The plan is once we, because the pilot was just a 3-year pilot to get this, but for this specific contract, One of the things I want to do going into the future is to add even the clients that need acute medication, if a person is hospitalized and needs medication and so on. So we eventually will see a situation where for all medication, for any client of the compensation fund, that person will then have to get medication. They won't have to go to a pharmacy, but that medication will then be delivered to them. So we did not want to go on a big bang approach only to find that the approach doesn't work for some clients. But we've seen that it works. That's why we now want to expand it beyond what it is now. We hope to have, by the end of this financial year, to have dealt with all the issues of the past with regard to claims. At the end of October, at the beginning of the financial year, the claims that I spoke about that were identified that were in SAP that have not been dealt with, were about 63,000 claims. We've dealt with about 44,000 of these claims, which leaves us about 18,000 or so that are still being dealt with by the team. So we're hoping to have this dealt with and finalized by the end of the financial year. The challenges that we have with regards to decentralization, a number of the things, the fund, all activities of the fund for 2012 were done in Pretoria. So you had more than 1,000 people sitting in Pretoria working on claims. The provinces only were post offices that would receive and send to Pretoria. So when we decentralized, the existing staff that was doing those functions then had to be taken to the labor center. But at the same time, there was additional capacity that was being created, because if we wanted to have as wide reach as possible, we needed to employ more people as well. So as part of the decentralization process, people were moved to labor centers and the new posts were created, which we advertised and people were filled. I mentioned earlier that, for example, we only had 2 medical personnel on staff. So we had to appoint medical case coordinators and adjudicators. Those were new posts that we created, that we had to appoint people in the different labor centers as well as the provincial offices. So those are some of the challenges. And people had challenges. We asked them about the challenges. What are these challenges that the people had? The issues that were there were people were saying that they have not been resettled correctly in terms of giving the correct allowances linked to resettlement. Other people who have chosen certain places to be transferred to those places, and they found that the grass is not necessarily greener that side than it is in Pretoria, for example. So you'd have those change issues where people wanted to be taken back to Pretoria. Other people had social issues, with inability to find school for children and so on. So we had a lot of those things that we needed to deal with. There was a lot of those things that we needed to deal with. On the issue of communications, we are satisfied. We are happy with what we've achieved so far, but we're not entirely satisfied with the communication. But it has improved, because now we are in a position to be able to, whereas in the past we had many people shutting doors on us. If you wanted to talk to different people, they wouldn't want anything to do with the fund. And now those doors are open, we're able to talk to a lot of our key stakeholders. I mentioned earlier that, for example, that even with the clients, we have been regular interactions, the interactions that the DG has with clients, the deputy minister, the minister, where we go to clients and we speak to clients directly. And obviously, that can improve. And we welcome the suggestion to be able to use even the constituency offices to be able to communicate. And the one of the things that we targeted when we created when we restructured, we identified also the fact that not only clients that are in rural, not only clients, but we also have some of our pensioners. A person who gets injured working in the urban area and then the person goes back home in the rural area. We have not really had programs that were aimed at working with those clients to make sure that once he gets back home, he gets properly reintegrated into the community. And there is sometimes, but some of them end up needing support because the person would be on the wheelchair. There is no one else at home to be able to take care of the person. What we've done in our this newly created rehabilitation unit, we're creating a over and above focusing on rehabilitation. We're creating actually posts for social rehabilitation. We get social workers, and I think we want to be able to work have programs where we can be able to work with community development or community health workers that can then be able to be used to deal with our clients who do not have people that are able to help them in the workplace. We never have, our pensioners were just numbers on the system. We never had an active management of the pensioners that we have on our system. We've created now a pension unit that is going to actively deal with managing clients going to the different areas, because most of them are not able to even get to our labor center. So we're hoping that this is one of the ways that we can be able to then reach out to as many of our clients as possible to make sure that we take care of them not only from a medical point of view, but to make sure that they also socially they're able to reintegrate back into the community. The question of the vacancy rate. But when we reported at the end of the financial year, we were sitting with, I think our vacancy rate was at around 10.9%. But what has happened now is because of the new structure, as I said, we're creating new units as well now. Our vacancy rate has gone up. I think we're sitting at close to about 20% because we've increased the number of posts that we have on our structure. We are now filling those posts. And we will still have, but it's going to take us some time to get all the posts filled. So our vacancy rate is going to remain at a high for some time, even close to the end of the financial year, because it's a bit of a process to get these posts filled. And why didn't we use the energy between August and October and so on? Most of our medical personnel, for example, because these are the policies that were then developed by the medical personnel, we could have sent ourselves up. I've been accounted by training if I was to be asked to develop rehabilitation policy. Or most probably would have come up with more numbers than content on the document. But I think most of our personnel, medical personnel, I mentioned that the compensation fund in the province is led by a medical doctor. We appointed most of those in May this year. And we spent the first 2 months orientating them into the fund. And one of the first things that they needed to work on was the issues around rehabilitation and reintegration. Hence, we only developed and finalized the policy now in after August. And it's now going through the necessary approval process so that we can start implementing it. And I think with the kind of skills that we're bringing on board now in the fund, we should be able to see us develop and implement things much quicker. I think PTSD is a good example. One of the things that we identified early on in the action plan, but it only got to finalization towards the end of the financial year. So I think I've addressed on that issue. I don't know if you can see that.
Thank you, Mr. Mafata. You know, South Africa has a challenge of unemployment. So it makes us develop cost plans to want to say your vacancy rate is skyrocketing instead of it being reduced. Are we talking about vacant funded posts? Yes. And if they are vacant funded posts, what is the snag? Why are they not filled? Members, any follow-up questions? I've noted your hand, Honorable Tonashe, Honorable Tongwane. Any other member? All right. Let's take hands in that order.
Thank you very much, Honorable Chair. I also welcome the presentation. Chairperson, you have covered some of my anxiety. But the commission has made mention of the fact that they've established new rules. This will take us to how long is that going to take?
a situation where you have an open-ended kind of an arrangement that will never come to a stop. And it talks to many things, your budgeting cycle, if we can talk to that. Secondly, I get very worried when I don't hear the coordination between departments. I know for a fact that the GCIS, that forever distributes newsletters. Are you part of those? Because this for me is quite a very important information. On again, question of coordination and information. I'm from Eastern Cape. You can imagine how that feel if I can listen to you from yourself over the morning and talking to people in the evening, because that's where your listenership is. I was listening to the Deputy Minister, I think a month ago or so, speaking very eloquently on other programs. I was quite excited. Well, our people were able to really contribute and raise their issues insofar as they understand. How I wish, Chairperson, as you have said, we can then take all this to those platforms, because yes, there are constituents often. However, our people still live in rural areas where there's nothing. Mm-hmm. And that's where your clientele is. For those who work in Johannesburg, once they reach 63, they start to pack and go back home. Doesn't matter if the person was a senior citizen in Mamelodi. Once the person reaches that age, they all go home. And unfortunately, home for me and comrades cry in rural areas. So I would really love to hear that kind of a report that says we talk to Shamwan and all other radio stations that can be people for you to talk directly to your clients. Because that's where they are. They, you might have your offices. It's a problem for them to reach your offices. We don't want to discuss about your offices for now. We'll do that at the other time or forever. But this is what I wanted to remember. I'm very happy with the presentation from the Commissioner. Thank you very much, Chair.
Honourable Thomas.
Thank you, Chair. Mine is just a short question on slide 19 regarding the approval of the policy for non-SMS members. By when will it be implemented? Thank you.
Ms. Demofata.
Thank you, Chair. Chair, the posts are funded posts. As indicated, these are new posts that we've created. We've set ourselves a target to make sure that by the end of the financial year, at least all the critical posts that are in the core business space field. We've already advertised for the senior managers within these two new units that we've created. Those posts are advertised as well as the support staff with the closing date of the 20th. And we hope to be able to shortlist an interview for those before we go for the December break. And all the other junior level posts are being prepared for advert now. But because of the numbers, the reality is that we will not be able to get all of them before the end of the financial year. But we hope to have especially the critical ones that are related to service delivered. Those are the ones that we are prioritizing to make sure that we fill before the end of the financial year. Because they are key for the programs that we want to, especially the social and vocational rehabilitation programs that we want to implement. That will touch to particularly our clients in the rural areas as well in the unaffected areas. That's why we want to implement this as soon as possible. We are working with GCIS. All our communications, especially the electronic media communication, happens with GCIS. We've in fact just approved a program that GCIS is helping us with, where we are going to be using community radio stations all over the country for our staff in the different labor centers to be able to go to the radio community radio stations close to where the labor centers are to start talking about the compensation fund. Because some of the challenges that you've identified is that sometimes claims get delayed because of lack of knowledge. There is small employers as well that are in the communities that don't know when a person is injured in the workplace, what must they do. A client also doesn't know once they're injured, what are their rights with regard to compensation. So we are even doctors that don't know, that still believe that the compensation fund doesn't pay and so on. So they're still sitting with the perception that they had a welfare. So we are hoping that working with the labor center, we're going to be able to then reach as many people as we can, because we realize that going to the national registration, not everyone listens to that. There's community registrations that people in the local community listen to. So we will be spending a bit of money getting to those, buying airtime in those community registrations to make sure that we get to speak to the people closer to them. The issue of declaration of interest by a non-SMS member, that has already started to happen. In fact, the declarations by non-SMS members was due by end of July, because it's managed through also through the Department of Public Service and Administration. We have some key personnel within supply chain, finance, as well as middle management, who are now required to submit a declaration of interest and so on. So that's something that we are doing already now.
Thank you. And a follow-up?
No, I wanted to check because in
don't forget the mic.
Your sentence here says the policy for non-SMS members has been approved but not yet implemented.
Honourable members, I think it's not implemented in its entirety, but it's implemented. What we've had is previously only SMS members required to declare. Now it's happening for all middle managers, as well as the key areas where fraud is usually prevalent, from the supply chain management, as well as for all officials within supply chain management, as well as in finance. So what we're hoping to have over time is to make sure that everyone, including the people who are working in, because we're starting to see that there's a lot of fraud that happens within the medical claims space. So we hope to then get it to that level. But what we've been doing now is also we've been doing issues of lifestyle audits as a countermeasure to declaration. And where we identify red flags, we then get our anti-fraud unit to be able to get to investigate some of those cases.
Thank you, Mr. Mafanta. I think that brings us to the end of this interaction. We appreciate the work that is done by your section. Keep up the good work. We are hoping that the envoy will remain with you, such that when you come, you make us smile more. You know the area where you have to improve. We don't want to see what was in the AG's report again about the compensation fund. Thank you very much. I think we'll give you time to go out if you are rushing for flight, as we will be proceeding with our agenda as the committee. We are just granting them 2 minutes. You need to go out, members. Just allowing them to go out. You can just stretch your legs. Thank you.
Can I bring that M1 with him next time? I need it. Thank you, Ron. I'm going to go to the next one.
Thank you, ma'am.
Thank you. I understand you to be saying we understand that the department is creating jobs, but if they can try and improve by creating an environment that
correct.
Is coming up with more jobs, mm-hmm. is saying correct for land, so I assume that is how we are going to capture that value. Any additional recommendations, Member? Honorable Francisco, please.
No, Chairperson, I think in the absence of any other recommendations, I will propose that we adopt the report.
A proposal to adopt the report has been tabled with this amendment. Any second after that? Honorable Teko and Honorable Bateman. Thank you, Honorable Member. That then concludes the report issue for item. Let's then go to the last item, which is consideration for adoption of draft minutes of the 8th of November 2017. Well, Ms. Ndabeni is a minister. Members, the minutes were sent to us. Honorable Bateman.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I propose we adopt these minutes. I'm very happy with the change at the top of page 4. Thank you for that.
Can you come back, Mr. Dixon? What I'm saying is about page 4.
Madam Chair, I'm happy that that was included. Maybe the word change is wrong.
Okay. Any second, Honorable Teko, second. Members, we have come to the end of the meeting because I can see Honorable America does not want to go, but I have not proposed closure. Can I hand over to you for that item, Honorable America?
I'm good.
Honorable America proposes closure and is seconded by Honorable Dollars. Thank you, members. The meeting has come to an end.
What's your question?